recording for this meeting. Okay, great. So again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. The purpose for the call today is really just to lay out kind of what we had in mind with developing these virtual knowledge groups and how they can continue to work going forward, discuss kind of the role of TASC in providing support for these groups, and the role of each of you. Really, these virtual knowledge groups have been developed to provide you with a different method for connecting with each other virtually. And really, we want them to be whatever you want them to be. We want to support that as much as possible here at TASC and support the Office of Rural Health Policy, too, and learning more about the issues within the FLEX program and FLEX monitoring team as well. But really, we want these groups to be about you and about fulfilling any kind of needs that you might have. I think it'd be beneficial if we could just start with kind of going around with who is on the call here. And since this topic or this group is about financial and operational improvement, if you could maybe provide a little background about, you know, your role. It's not everybody on the call is actually a FLEX coordinator, so your role or maybe how you're involved with financial and operational improvement in your work within the FLEX program.
This is Larry Broner from the Pennsylvania Office of Rural Health. I've been here with the office now for about 10 years, and certainly both in the financial and operational areas, we've had a big concentration working on performance measures, performance management for the hospitals, and also on the financial end, we've been successful in getting a Medicaid supplemental for our hospitals, which has made a major difference financially for the critical access hospitals in Pennsylvania.
Great. Thanks, Larry.
Hi, this is Melinda Merrill from the South Carolina Office of Rural Health. I'm the FLEX coordinator, and this is actually one of the areas where I could stand to learn a few things. We're embarking on a financial improvement benchmarking project with all of our SHIP hospitals, so we're excited to be rolling that out this coming grant year.
This is Patsy Whaley at the State Office of Rural Health in Georgia. I am the FLEX coordinator. I've been in this position about 5.5 years.
Thanks, Patsy.
This is George Panka from the North Carolina Rural Center, and we produce the Critical Access Hospital Financial Indicators Report, and I'm here to learn everything I can from Patsy.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you long. You won't be on the call that long.
Anyone else that's joined us?
Tracy, this is Chris Tilden.
Sure.
I am here with Bethany Adams and Rhonda Barkas. For those of you who do not know us, I'm a former FLEX coordinator and a former State Office of Rural Health Director out of the state of Kansas. I'm now with Mountain States Group out of Boise, Idaho. We also direct the ORHP-funded Rural Hospital Performance Improvement Project, which provides financial and operational technical assistance around financial and operational, as well as quality and other issues to hospitals in the Mississippi Delta region. And we work very closely with our state partners that include the state offices of rural health, the hospital associations, and the QIOs in the eight states that we work with to support critical access hospitals and other rural hospitals in the Delta region.
Hey, Tracy, this is Steve Boleyn in Nevada. I'm my organization is a sub-grantee or a sub-awardee for the FLEX grant here in Nevada, and I function as the CFO of the FLEX program. And in addition to all of the other things that the people have talked about, one of the things we've done out here with our group is the Revenue Cycle Initiative, which has been very exciting and very successful, albeit not as successful as we'd like, program. And we continue to try and utilize as much data as possible into the benchmarking that we can. And so we're really kind of enthusiastic about getting with this group here to see what other people are doing and how we can enhance what we do here.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Anyone else on the call?
This is Mark Holmes. I work with George on the Flux Monitoring team.
Hi, Mark. And I'm also joined here by Terry Hill as well.
Yeah, hello, everybody. And this is our second call. We had one earlier this morning. Several are with us. And have we talked about the, I just walked in a few minutes late, about the concepts here, what we're attempting to do. And that's basically to capture knowledge that is basically being generated by our state flex programs, by other funded initiatives of HRSA, et cetera, and to find a way that we can also provide peer support in some of the initiatives that we're undertaking. I'm glad to see Chris and Bethany on the phone, because we've worked with eight state flex programs, gosh, over the last dozen years or so on a variety of different initiatives within the rural hospital performance improvement program. And what we know is there's some really terrific work going on in that eight state Mississippi Delta region. And I think we've learned some things, a lot of things actually, over the last dozen years or so that we can share. Conversely, we know that there's a lot of excellent work going on in terms of revenue cycle management, boot camps, et cetera. And so the concept here is just simply, it's just another way of trying to capture and transfer knowledge. It supplements in no way tries to replace the work that's being done by the monitoring team and the research centers. That's obviously an extremely important avenue for generating knowledge. This simply supplements it, and it starts to make sure that we're not creating the wheel in one area, that knowledge is being transferred across the country, et cetera. And it's a big part of the role the task plays, is we don't pretend to be the experts in anything, but in particular what we do is we bring folks together who learn from each other. And again, I think there's some real value in people who've been doing similar work getting together and kind of discussing it, learning from each other, and then sharing that with the rest of the FLEX programs across the United States. So that's the concept. The other concept is that it's kind of divided between how we're going to go about doing this. We thought we'd have at least quarterly conference calls of this group. During that time, one of the things I learned, I think from Bethany Adams, I'll give her credit for this, is that basically if you're working with hospital people, they most effectively learn from each other. It's just something, after years and years, we've discovered that. So all the agendas we do down in the Mississippi Delta now, we build in heavy concentration of hospitals teaching other hospitals what they've learned. And as Chris said, a lot of the focus has been around how we improve our business practices, our financial improvement, et cetera, our financial processes, et cetera. The other thing we hear, and we hear it over and over and over again, and we see it as we're working with hospitals, at least I do when I'm out there, and virtually every accounting group tells us pretty much the same thing, is that there's so many rules, there's so much complexity within the Medicare rules and Medicaid, et cetera, that it's sometimes very difficult for rural hospitals to capture all the revenue that is due them. And while, you know, hopefully we're going to continue to get treated favorably by policymakers, et cetera, but the grim reality is there's probably not going to be a whole lot of new money into the system anytime soon. So then this focus on how we improve financial performance, how we improve the existing processes, how we take waste out of the system and bill and code correctly and do revenue cycle management effectively, et cetera, we think is extremely important. And we think it was one of the reasons we put this as one of the five focus areas. Do you have the other, did you tell them the other four?
No, I didn't talk about that yet. The other four virtual knowledge groups include emergency medical services, health information technology, health system development and community engagement, and quality improvement. So if you're interested in participating in any of those additional virtual knowledge groups and don't think that we're aware of that, please send a message either to myself or Nicole Clement, and we'll get you added onto those lists as well.
Right. And so the groups will they'll be meeting in person next month when we go to Portland, Maine for our Flex conference. We'll have periodic conference calls. The conference calls, at least, they're initially designed, and again, it's a work in progress, and we want you guys to tell us what provides the most value. Would be a combination of kind of a sharing, somebody coming prepared to talk about, in 5 or 10 minutes, what they're doing in Georgia or Pennsylvania or whatever. The conversations would be structured, and we've learned from our Mississippi Delta Performance Improvement Project that the more preparation that comes in on the front end, the better the result on the back end. So the thought is, and this isn't just going to be a place where you come in and we talk, we found that those don't work very well, or they end up having limited value. And our commitment is that we're going to provide maximum value here, and that we're going to take your comments and your suggestions and try to make something that is going to be worth coming to and taking your valuable time. In addition to the discussions, we're also building in an online capability of conversing as well. Tracy, you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So what we're envisioning is with the ways that this group can continue to communicate in the future, and we'll talk some more about who the participants are in this group and things like that, but the ways include conference calls, like Terry mentioned, maybe one a quarter if that's what the need is for the group. In email communication, we could build an email group that everyone could have access to and share. And then the other is something that we're calling the Flex Program Forum, which is a web-based forum for conversation. So it's a chat or a message forum. So the way you would access that is actually through the TASC website. And not this Friday, but the following Friday, June 17th, we'll be launching a webinar here at TASC at 2 p.m. Central Time, and you'll receive information in your email about this. That'll be an introductory webinar to using this Flex Program Forum. So what you would do is actually, go to the TASC website, create a login account and a password, and then you can access this forum where you'll be able to see by topic area, those five virtual knowledge group topic areas we mentioned before, discussions that are going on, comments that are being posted, documents that are being shared, and people's comments about those different things. It's a secure environment where you need to have login rights to access information. So even draft documents or draft ideas could be shared, and you could get, I think some kind of candid comments back from people about that. We know that a lot of states have relationships with one particular state, but they might not know that a different state is actually doing some work really similar to what they're doing, or has had an experience, good or bad, that they might be able to add some insight to. And so that we're hoping that these virtual knowledge groups, as well as this forum, are just another method for the states to be able to share some information with each other in a really, really beneficial format.
The second thing is that, in essence, we're hoping it's a place where OHP staff could come in and post a query or a question, mm-hmm. where they could join us periodically, so that they can get feedback on a very rapid basis. And then finally, we hope that it's going to be of use to the Flex monitoring team, and both in terms of, you know, if they're seeking feedback on something, or they're seeking support and getting some of their research out, et cetera. I know we've both Tracy and I have had some really good conversations lately with George and Mark about how can we get this information, particularly the financial information, out to our hospitals most effectively. How can we make sure that we're maximizing the exposure to the research that's being done already? And so those are some of the things we wanted to kind of include in our discussions. So that's what we have been thinking about. We're certainly open if you want to do more than that, or if there's other ideas about that. So it's discussion. There's the educational aspects, but the educational aspects are, rather than traditional kinds of presentations, they would be more of a sharing. You know, we'd ask Larry to talk about such and such. We'd ask Patsy to come prepared to talk about some such and such. And so it basically would be that sharing, and then we'd open up opportunities towards the end of the discussion for people to bring up other topic areas as well, and then supplement that with the online thing, which would be ongoing, actually.
So these groups are, the participation in them is voluntary, and, you know, and we're looking for active participation and people that want to contribute to the group. The participation is limited, however, to State Office of Rural Health directors, FLEX coordinators, or other key FLEX program personnel that, you know, is communicated to us by FLEX personnel. The staff from the Office of Rural Health Policy, TASC, the FLEX monitoring team, and the TASC Advisory Committee.
And grantees, you know, it's
right.
Absolutely, we're glad, we're really glad that Chris and Bethany are
there.
Yeah, they're grantees or they're contractors, et cetera. So kind of keeping it rather than outside consultants, I guess.
Yeah, consultants and experts aren't really intended to be included on a regular basis, but they could be invited to participate from time to time on a kind of limited short-term basis as requested by the group. And really, when we're talking about putting together an educational thing for the group, or that we decide to do something, the we is really you. This is your group to do with it as you want to, and to be driven by the state FLEX program. So we're not referring to we as in task running the show, but we as a collective, this virtual knowledge group. We did, however, take the liberty to talk to a FLEX coordinator about chairing the group. We thought that having the group led by somebody from the state FLEX program would probably be most beneficial to the group. And so I had a conversation with Patsy Whaley earlier this week about chairing the group, and she has graciously accepted. So we're really excited about that and think it could be really, really beneficial.
We also are looking for somebody who would be like a vice chair and might, you know, if Patsy wasn't available, might chair the group in her absence. And so we would be looking for volunteers, but rather than take them now, if you want to volunteer, if you're willing to take on that role, we'd really appreciate it. Just let Tracy know, and I'm sure we can accommodate. If there's a couple of you, we may just have to flip a coin or something of that nature, but I'm sure that the folks that are on would do a good job of that. Patsy was somebody who's been around for a while, who has expertise in this area, and we thought she'd make a good first chair. We can periodically change chairs, et cetera. You don't have to do it for life, Patsy, but, you know, it's just something to start with.
I'll be glad to do it as long as I can.
Okay.
Retire someday, but as long as I can, I'll be glad to.
We appreciate that. Are there any questions in general? I think we're excited about this. It's an experiment. We think it's also very consistent with what we see going on in terms of knowledge management, knowledge transfer, et cetera, both in other industries. And, you know, the Office of the National Coordinator, for example, is developing something they're calling HIT REC, which is their knowledge center. And a lot of that has to do with the same sort of creating virtual knowledge groups. So we're not, we know we're not alone doing this, but we do think it's something a little bit different. And as I said, we're really committed to providing value for all of you. Any questions?
Terry, it's Patsy.
Yes.
I wonder if I could get a list of the committee members and their contact information. Sort of like to give each one of them a call and just talk with them briefly about what they're experiencing in their hospitals and what they're doing to address those issues, to give me a little bit better understanding of what's going on across the country.
Patsy, that's above and beyond the call of duty. We're more than happy to do that. We will give you that.
Yeah, and I think what we'll do for the benefit of maybe everybody in the group is just send out a message about who has signed up initially, at least to participate, with their phone number and email address, just so that you all know kind of who's who and can start to network however you choose.
Okay.
Are there other questions at all about how the group will proceed, or conference calls, or the forum, or purpose, or anything like that?
Right now, we're planning at least quarterly calls. If there was some urgent reason to put extra calls in, we'd try to accommodate that. Or if one of you wanted to host it, I mean, you don't have to. We're here to support you, but you know, if you want to go off in a different direction, or you want to put in an extra call or sub calls, we're totally okay with that as well. Okay, then let's begin. And the first item had to do with the kind of the collection of information in terms of what were some of the key issues that you guys have identified that might be topics of discussion here in this forum. Now, they could be either the conference call format, they could be questions posted on our chat room, for lack of a better alternative name here. And so what I want to do is, maybe I'll have Tracy do it. We'll go around, and we'd like you to give us one topic that you think would be of interest. And again, this is the topic that would be relevant to the State Flex programs, that it would be important to you and in your job as a Flex program, or working with rural hospitals, this would be an important focus area. So it could be, you know, revenue cycle management, or it could be has something to do with HIT reimbursement. It's financial, broader topic. And we'd ask you to probably just list one, although if you wanted to, and if you've got somebody else's, you could say, I agree with that comment, et cetera. But what we're going to do is, to make sure that everybody has input, just go around to everybody on the call and say, give us a topic that you think would really be important. We'll give you an opportunity at the end to put in other topics if we didn't get to everything on your list.
So I think we'll go by who announced themselves. So, Larry, you were first, so that means you get to start.
Okay. We recently did some modeling for the Health Reform Act and what the effect is going to be financially on the hospitals. And it's some pretty interesting information of the ones that volunteered to participate in that going forward, and how, particularly with the increase of Medicaid that's projected, and how that's going to affect the hospitals financially.
Okay.
So that's my.
Financial impact of health reform.
Of the ACA, yes.
Yeah. Great. Melinda?
I am. As I mentioned in my introduction, we're looking at some benchmarking projects, and I understand there's even maybe some folks looking at that from a national level, building on what the great work that Flex Monitoring Team already does in this arena. So I'd say just discussion around that, appropriate measures, rural-specific things, that type of thing.
Okay. Okay. So financial benchmarking and appropriate measures. Okay. Patsy?
We've just completed workshops with our critical access hospitals around the basics of critical access hospital reimbursement, charge capture, all of those types of things that these hospitals need to know. We did find in the evaluation after those workshops were completed, because of several things, the complexity of the reimbursement for critical access hospitals, as well as the impact of the cost report on critical access hospitals and what goes into that that cost report. So one of the things that we feel like that, and we're going to continue to work on this with our group of hospitals, is bringing them back to the basics, understanding reimbursement, understanding the cost reporting, and even extending that beyond the CEO and the CFO to those managers who are responsible for developing and providing statistical data that impacts that cost report. So I think the complexity of the critical access hospital reimbursement and their rules and regulations.
Okay, great.
And Georgia, boy, we're really concerned about the hospitals down there from what Cindy Dupree has been telling us. They just seem financially challenged, and you know, that's such important work that you're doing.
Thank you. They are very fragile. They are very fragile. So, and one of the things that impacts that is the turnover in these hospitals. At the CEO level, it's been 56% turnover rate since 2008. There's also turnover in the other key leadership positions in those hospitals. So retaining knowledge and being able to effectively operate is a challenge, particularly with some of the CEOs and CFOs who are coming in from a PPS environment. It's so different. It's so so complex that that some of them have a little bit difficult time getting oriented to how different it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Patsy, you're actually going to be talking about this workshop at the Flex Conference this summer too, and we're really looking forward to that because it sounds like just such a great training you guys offered.
It was very successful. We're going to do it again next year. Just wish we had more money to be more consistent with it rather than it being a year between those sessions. But it is what it is. We do what we can with what we have.
George?
I guess I would add on to one of the previous suggestions that one of the projects that the Flex Monitoring team is going to have for 2011-2012 is to develop some new indicators for outpatient services. The Rural Center and the Flex Monitoring team in North Carolina has recently been approved to receive all the Medicare outpatient claims, the entire database, which is like a huge, I don't know how many gigabytes it is, but and that allows us the opportunity to start looking at outpatient business in a much more focused way than we have in the past. So it would be great if we could have some advice about developing sort of 3 to 5 indicators that will help hospitals monitor and evaluate and assess outpatient care.
Wow, that's exciting, George. When are you going to start analyzing that?
Well, we just received the data in a brown paper envelope about a month ago, and now we're to be brutally honest, we're now debating with the university IT services about how to maintain this confidential database. We've had a few instances of mammography data being released, being hacked, and so everybody's hypersensitive. So we're hoping that we'll have the data up and running within a couple of months, And then it'll take us a couple of months to sort of sift through it and see what's there and see how clean it is or how dirty it is, how much we're going to have to do to get it in shape. But we're hoping to start playing with it in the fall. Would that be reasonable, Mark?
I think that's a very reasonable time frame now.
It's we thought this was particularly important because the average critical access hospital now gets around 68% of its revenue from outpatients. So these hospitals are really transforming themselves into large outpatient centers with a few inpatient beds.
That's exciting work. That's great. Mark, do you have any issues to add?
I think the other thing I would add to that would be it's probably less about financial management and the like, but the impact of more along the lines of someone said earlier, I forget which state it was, I think it was Larry, but the policy trends in the sense of ACA and ACOs and the increased level of system affiliation of CAHs with broader healthcare systems, how do accountable care organizations fit into this, sort of the role of the CAH and its sub-organizations and how it fits in with the rapidly changing environment that we're in today.
Great, thank you. That's an issue that we've been talking a lot about here at TAS lately, and definitely a big one.
Yeah, and particularly accountable care organizations, which obviously have a pretty strong quality component, but so much of it is about the financial accountability. I mean, if you look at it, accountability, it's accountant. I mean, it's even financial in its terminology. So I think that and other reform movements would fall under this category.
Chris, Bethany, and Rhonda, I know that you do a significant amount of work about financial and operational improvement in the Mississippi Delta region. What are some of the major issues you all are seeing?
Yeah, it's a little hard to encapsulate simply because in working with, eight states, the issues are broad across the spectrum. If you look at projects in the operational and financial arena we've worked on in the last year, they do include things like charge capture. We've worked extensively with Cynthia Dupree, who I know is working in Georgia. She's also worked with us extensively in the Delta on a number of projects. A lot of work going on in revenue cycle management, a lot of work going on around business office redesign, lean process improvement, primary care, strategic planning, master site planning. At the end of the day, I find it probably a little hard to rank order, the needs because they are unique to every facility. I think what's a little bit unique about the approach that we've taken is given that we've been working on this for 10 years, I think the expertise we perhaps bring to the table is that we've really defined a process of how to help the facilities define the issues and challenges that they're having, really work to develop a mechanism for them to frame and articulate their goals, and then working with the Rural Health Resource Center, who is a primary partner and a subcontractor with us on this project, looking at ways to, as Terry said, disseminate the information among the participating hospitals through a variety of calls, online resources, conferences, and whatnot. I don't know if that answered the question. That was pretty long-winded, but I think as we move forward, we'd be, willing to share information about the project work, as well as kind of that overall process of how we as kind of consultants to the facilities provide the technical assistance that we provide, which I don't think is too unlike the work that Flex programs do, working with consultants and others to ensure that the critical access hospitals are operating well and are financially and fiscally sound.
Yeah, and one of the basic premises from the very beginning of this program is that everything is done in partnership with the state flex programs and state offices of rural health. So, I mean, that's been the particularly rewarding piece of it is there's flex, there are flex initiatives going on, and I think to a large part we've avoided any duplication of effort. We've worked in partnership from the very beginning, and I can just say that I'm obviously prejudiced, but this is one of the best programs I've ever participated in. So I'm really pleased that Bethany and Chris are on and can share some of what has gone on in those eight states.
Helen, we've done dozens and dozens and dozens of projects over the years and have a pretty extensive database really of what has worked and what hasn't. Is it related to the specific topic areas? We every other year do an RHPI conference. In fact, the upcoming conference, we have a conference this year, later in the year, and probably would be able to make some slots available for folks that would be interested in seeing what it is we do with that conference. It's, as far as I can tell, unique in the industry in that really the sole focus is opportunities for hospitals to share their experiences with their own projects that they have completed, to share lessons learned, what worked, what didn't work. So, there are very few technical experts that provide the information. It's three full days of hospitals sharing their experiences. So that's really, I hope our role as part of this group is to kind of share some of those experiences, not as technical experts, but the mechanism, the model, the strategies that we use to help facilities, again, much in the same way that you all as flex programs are looking to work with your facilities in your states.
That's great, Chris, and I think that the experience that you and Bethany and Rhonda bring to this group is really going to be helpful, and I think, exactly what you just said, being able to share those experiences within hospitals and facilitate those conversations is really beneficial, and that's exactly what we're looking to do with the FLEX programs, with this knowledge group and with the FLEX conference as well. So any insights you have to share is greatly appreciated. And Steve, what issues do you see?
Well, I think from our perspective, we've done quite a bit in Nevada with trying to work with our members' data, both financial and quality and revenue cycle data. And we've really been just able to work within our group because we found that as we work a lot with the data, we find inconsistencies on how information is classified and reported. And so in order to reach good conclusions and thus dictate or direct activities, we want to be comfortable that we're reaching the right conclusion. And we've been very eager and wanting to have a larger pool than our 14 hospitals out here in Nevada, 14 rural hospitals. And so the opportunity to start working with other networks and states and get more facilities into our pool would be a pool of information is really exciting to us. But at the same time, though, we need to make sure that we again have control of that data to some extent, that we classify it properly and we reach the right conclusions. So it's kind of a combination of defining the measures and defining the elements that go into the measures. And so just something like that to be involved in that, if you go to like HFMA has core measures on financial management performance, it's kind of like a Moody's or Standard & Poor rating. And a lot of that stuff doesn't apply to rural hospitals, so it would be nice to have like a rural segment of that, and hopefully with some of the suggestions and comments that have been made, we can kind of head in that direction. And to start having outpatient data is really exciting too, because here in Nevada, they finally mandated that we submit our UB information to the state. Previously, it was just the inpatient, and everyone's really excited about having outpatient data available. So I would be very willing and eager to participate in in stuff with George and Mark and those guys and the others for sure.
Great, and I remember this conversation from last year at the Flex Conference, too, about developing core measures on financial improvement. We spent a bit of time in our kind of that was the initiation of these virtual knowledge groups is talking about this concept itself. So, are there any other issues or topics that come
to
mind?
How about I think, did anybody join us late that didn't announce themselves?
Oh, yes.
I thought I might have heard a click. Anybody else on that's?
Okay.
Maybe not.
So, any other issues or comments or suggestions to add to the list here?
Let me bring one up then, because I get to jump in here occasionally. What we're finding from our HIT key informer group, particularly we have a whole little subgroup of people who are looking at the financial aspects of health information technology and HR adoption, and they include this is one of our task key informant groups, and they include several of kind of the leading consultants that, you know, people that advise us on a wide variety of different financial issues, help to answer questions when you guys ask us. We have this group of experts we go to. So there's this other virtual that's out there that that we're communicating with. And one of the real concerns that is out there right now is there seems to be a lot of ambiguities in terms of the health information technology finance, both from a finance, from a, an incentive standpoint, and then secondly, lack of clarity as to what actually is going to qualify, what's reimbursable and what's not. Obviously, if you put on electronic health records, you know, you with critical access hospitals, there is cost-based reimbursement, but how do you calculate that? Apparently, there are a number of different issues. Tommy Barnhart from one of the consulting accounting firms basically has put something together. We're hearing that from another core of our advisors on this. So bottom line is there's a lot of ambiguity on this particular issue. And we also hear from Alterum, who has been given a contract by ONC to look at financial impact, particularly on rural hospitals, that what they're hearing is a lot of hospitals are basing their purchase of the equipment on a formula that's probably not necessary, that is uncertain at best. Let me put it that way. And so there's a number of questions that our group has, is, and we're also working with the National Rural Health Association to get those issues settled with CMS so that CMS can answer some of them, because there's, again, significant number of uncertainties about exactly how much of this is going to be reimbursable, exactly how are we going to get the incentives, et cetera. So I would put HIT finance on this list as well.
Any other items to add to the list? Okay. So what our thoughts here were, in order to kind of keep the conversation going, and to kind of maybe drill down on the list and provide a little bit of starting direction for the group, was to take the list of things that you all just provided and to send out an email or an electronic survey to you all and have you rank those things in order of your preference or importance. Do you want to talk a little bit about the ranking?
Yeah, and basically what we're going to ask you to do is to give us some feeling which are the most important, particularly from a, so it could be that it's not necessarily most important to the hospitals, but most important in terms of discussion topics, what you want to deal with in this group. We're going to ask you to rate them at either a 3, a 2, or a 1, 3 being, you know, very important, 2 being important, and 1 being less important as such. So And we're also going to ask you to kind of divide up your, you know, the weight so that you've got about as many threes, twos, and ones. Please don't rank them all as threes or all as zeros and your favorite topic as three. But what I find is that that basically is going to give us some feeling of what you feel are priorities. And we'll then talk to Patsy about it. And as we look at putting an agenda in place or what should some of the first questions be that we post on our web, it'll just give us some feeling. It doesn't mean we can't talk about all of the things we mentioned. In fact, we probably will over the course of the next year. But rather, it'll just give us a little bit of feedback in terms of what you see as the most important. So there'll be an explanation in the memo that goes out. Again, three of the most important, given this list, give a couple of threes, a couple of twos, maybe a couple of ones. If you don't think it's important at all, just give it a zero. But again, it doesn't look like anything on this list would probably warrant a zero. So that'll be a follow-up email. It's going to come from you, Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy will send it to you. We'll get your assessment of what you think. And again, doesn't mean we always have to start with the first one, but it'll give us some feeling also about the spread between what you see the most important and those that are maybe of a little less importance. Probably for this group, it's probably not as important. Our previous call was EMS, and there were probably twice as many issues identified within the broader category of EMS, and so that's going to be important here. Here it looks like we could probably cover these topics, but we'll follow through in our process anyway to get your input.
I think that what that'll do, too, is, as Terry mentioned earlier, there's some time at the Flex Conference this summer, which is just about a month away in Portland, for these virtual knowledge groups to meet face-to-face. So if you're planning on attending the Flex Conference, there's some time for you all to meet. And so I think that'll, too, provide just a little bit of a starting place for that time at the conference, too, to start addressing some of the things or thinking about how this group collectively wants to address some of the issues that are identified through this discussion today and then the outcomes of this kind of ranking survey.
I guess the third thing we didn't mention is we can also get an EMS listing out. So if you've got a particular question and you want to send it out, we could also send it out to this group by email as well, which would be more immediate. And we're hoping that increasingly people are going to use the chat feature of our groups. But as of now, we can communicate in three different ways.
Yeah, and that was one question that actually came up on the previous call was, some folks have actually signed up to participate in multiple virtual knowledge groups, which we think is fantastic. And the question was, well, how do I prioritize or try to manage that? And we're hoping that if participation on the forum is as active as we hope it will be, or we can promote it as much as possible, that the forum will actually be a place to go to see activities and topics and discussions that are going on within all of the different topic areas or within all of the different virtual knowledge groups. Everyone on this call will have access to the forum and all components of the forum. It's not that you will just only be able to see the financial and operational improvement section of the forum. So you'll be able to look at activities that are going on in EMS or HIT. And if you have interest in participating in those conversations, you can do so too. So that's a way, I think, to keep a pulse on some of the different activities that are going on or discussions. And also, I mean, like Terry's suggestion earlier about HIT and finance, I imagine that topic will come up within the HIT virtual knowledge group too. So it's a way for us to kind of cross-pollinate the groups with each other and share information as well.
And we just about less than an hour ago had a conversation with Mike McNeely, who, as you guys know, is our new program officer here. And Mike will also participate in these calls. He's totally tied up on something else at the moment, but he's interested in participating. And I think particularly we have other ORGP staff participating in the other calls as well. So it could be that we're going to open it up to the hospital team in particular and encourage them to come participate in the calls. Are there other suggestions or other topic areas? We've got a few more minutes and if somebody wants to bring something up or ask a question for the group.
any suggestions about how to continue to make the group successful, you know, based on the kind of methods of communicating we talked about?
Well, if you do, just let us know. We'll, you know, as we move forward, again, this is a work in progress, but as we move forward, you know, let us know how the group's going, if you've got suggestions for improvement, et cetera. Our commitment is that if you come to these calls that you'll get value out of them, and we'll work hard to try to make that happen. Ultimately, though, they're your calls, so it'll have to be a partnership. With that, I want to thank everybody for being a part of the call. We will convene again next in Portland in person, and we will send out – oh, that's the other thing. We will send out very brief minutes. They're not going to be what everybody said necessarily, but just the gist of the conversation itself. Those will be coming out. We've recorded this first call, and – some folks haven't been able to make some of our meetings, so we're going to, again, have it available because we're not going to go into all the background, obviously, on subsequent calls. We appreciate you being a part of the call. We're looking forward to really great conversations. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye. Bye.
Bye, Al.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.